Good morning.
Good morning.
By God's help, we're going to try to share some thoughts on attachments. And we surely need the blessings of the Lord. Would you join us as we ask God to bless us? We surely need Him. Our Father, we thank You that You are God. And that You have helped us many times. But here's another time. We need You. And we want Your blessings. We ask for the aid of the Holy Spirit. Would You please visit everyone? And may Your presence be real to every soul. Speak something to every individual. This day we ask. Even to the children. May they feel the presence of God and be blessed. We need You, Lord. And we ask for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. In this world today, there are many things that people can acquire an attachment of. Children can get attached to their mother. She's the first one that they see in the morning when they wake up. She's the one that fixes their breakfast and bathes them and combs their hair and fixes their lunch. And if she has time, maybe she plays games with them. And through the day, they're together. Fixes the supper meal with her in the evening. She's the last one that they see at night as she has a little prayer with them and tells them good night and maybe gives them a hug and says, I love you. So there are bonds that develop between children and their mother that attaches them very closely to each other. And she is a sense of security probably to children that have that strong attachment. Also, there is attachments that people have for their parents. Pets. I sat by a woman for a number of years in a workplace, and she had had two marriages, and she wasn't with either man, but she had a dog that she got very attached to, and this dog got old and was in bad shape, and she don't know how many trips to the veterinarian with it. And, well, it finally either she put it down or it died. Oh, the way that woman took on over that dog. She was just really emotionally touched by this pet that she had lost. And I don't know how long it took her to get over it. She got another dog, and I think it got hit by a car. But at any rate, people get attached to their pets. My niece had a cat that she had an attachment to. She lives in California, and she had this cat for 11 years. And she lives not too awfully far from the foothills. And a coyote or coyotes got a hold of her pet cat. Whether it was an appetizer or a meal, the cat was gone. Felt bad about it. I don't know how long it took her to get over it, but she was attached to this cat. I have a friend in Kansas, and she has four cats, I believe it is, and one dog. And she has money to provide for them, food, and they, if they get physical problems, why, off to the veterinarian. And the dog had liver problem, and but she is attached to these animals, pets. So people are attached to their pets. People get attached to life so much that, well, I know of one lady had terminal cancer, and I didn't know, but they have a pill that costs $7,000 for one pill, and it does not cure it. It does not shrink it, but it is supposed to slow the progress of the cancer. So she took that pill of $7,000. But she's now in eternity. It did not save her life. So people have a strong attachment to life. King Hezekiah was that way. Remember, he got sick, and God sent the prophet Isaiah to announce a death sentence upon him. Isaiah told Hezekiah that you're going to die. Hezekiah didn't want to die, and maybe after Hezekiah left, the presence after Isaiah left Hezekiah, maybe the look that Hezekiah had on his face as he heard the sentence of doom, of death, pronounced to him by a prophet of God. And maybe that stuck in Isaiah's mind as he went away. Whatever the visual impact it had on Hezekiah, it had a deep emotional impact upon him that he started crying and praying to God. And God sent a message to Isaiah, go back and tell him, I've seen his tears. I heard his cry. And I'm adding 15 years to his life. So life is precious and dear to many people. It was in the meeting in Texas last October, and Brother Marty preached about some people who were traveling, and I believe it was out in the West, and there was a, they called it Hastings cutoff. This individual had got this cutoff, and he had never taken it himself, but he had this information, and somebody in the group talked to a person who had taken the cutoff. And they had warned them, don't you do it. Don't take this cut off. But the one who had the influence or ones who had the influence decided against the warning. And they took it. And they got out into an area where there, this was long ago, wagon wheels sunk down into the sand. And they were stuck. Well, of course, their food supply diminished. They were without food. They got desperate. And when someone would die, they would eat them. Human beings eating other human beings. Why? Life was dear to them, and they were not wanting to die themselves. Remember the siege that back in the Old Testament where the people was cut off from their food supply and their food supply diminished, and one woman, two women ate one woman's child. That sounds gross, doesn't it? But they wanted to live. So life, people are attached to life, and they do some things that they wouldn't normally do to sustain life. People get attached to sin. There are people that live all the days of their life in sin. They are career sinners, and that they never will turn away from sin. They'll live and they will die in sin. They make a career of it. And one of those individuals, Paul had a chance to preach to them in Acts. It's recorded. This man was a king. Acts the 20, his name was Agrippa. Acts 26, and we'll read it, verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Here is a case where one of the most powerful preachers ever to be, you could, if you were ranking powerful ministers, he would be one of the most powerful. Paul, talking with spiritual anointing to this man who was in a powerful place, a king. And his message was right on target. It was effective. And it almost persuaded him to relinquish his sins, to go out of the sin business, and to be a Christian. Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. But there were attachments, perhaps, that had developed in his life, maybe in childhood, and had an attachment all the way through. Some people get attached to vices at a very early age, and they so strongly attached to them that they live with them all their life, and they die that way. As far as we know, this is what happened to King Agrippa, because there is no record anywhere where he ever changed. He was a career sinner. He lived in sin all of his life. You perhaps have known people that have lived and died never having become a Christian. There are people who probably have gone out into eternity since I've been standing up here that have fell in that category. Well, even though the message was powerful, even though the conviction was strong, yet his attachment to sin was stronger than the conviction, stronger than the message. And he went out into eternity. Sometime after that, and there's a man named Philip Bliss that wrote a song, and it's number 104. Would you sing that? Almost Persuaded. Sing it softly. It's in the blue book. Almost Persuaded. Strong attachments to sin can keep people bound for eternity. Almost persuaded. Yes. Go. Oh, what a dangerous thing to say go to the Spirit of God. Think of it. Almost. Jesus. What a sad thing. Harvest is past. Almost cannot avail. Sad, sad. Those last words there, almost but lost. May God help that that won't be any of our fate. Almost but lost. I live very close to a nursing home, and there was poor people in there. Their last home on this earth. Just recently, a number has had their last breath, went out into eternity, and I don't know how many of them are there today that are almost to the end of life journey, and they're lost. Almost to the end, but lost. Serious? King Agrippa? Whatever he was attached to in sin, that he didn't say, "Paul, I believe you. I believe the prophets. I'm a king. I have power, but I value being a Christian more than being a king in power and turning it all over to God." But he didn't do it. He's lost today. He's lost forever. There's no exiting out of where he is. And the worst is yet to come. He's in a holding area now, but he will be put in the lake of fire in the day of judgment. If he had an opportunity to do it over, do you think those attachments that he was attached to would mean that much to him? It's over for King Agrippa. If you're attached to sin today, whether you're young or old, break it. Break it. You'll be the loser if you don't for all eternity. Well, there are attachments in relationships. Some can be good and some can be bad. Samson was a man of outstanding strength. He was given a secret that he wasn't supposed to tell, what his strength was in. And he fell in love, fell in something, with a woman that didn't love him. She loved money. And he had been very effective in destroying enemies. The Philistines. They made a deal with her. You get his secret and you'll get the money. And so she didn't love him. She loved the money. Perhaps she thought of what she could do with the money that she was going to get. If she could get the secret. And she started pressuring him. Pressuring him. Pressuring him. And he would tell her, "Well, if you do this." And she was trying it. That didn't work. He was able to get up and defend himself or whatever. And finally, she pressed him, and this story is in Judges, the 16th chapter, and the 18th verse. And when Delilah saw, and he finally told her, we'll read that verse. And it came to pass, the 16th verse, when she pressed him daily with her words. You know, that's what the enemy wants to do to the people of God. He wants to press them daily. Amen. Wear them down. Trash talk them. She pressed him with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. That he told her, here it comes, Delilah, I'm going to tell you, all his heart, and said unto her, there had not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, do you think it sounded different this time? He's really told me his heart this time. Does the truth have a ring to it that lies don't? Well, anyway, she thought she had it now, and she did. She sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has shown me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him, oh, poor Samson. He might have been awfully strong, but he was sure weak here. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Poor Samson got caught up and attached to a woman that had evil intent, divulging the secret. And what did his quality of life end up being? They poked his eyes out. They put him in prison. And he was working for his enemy instead of destroying him. Attachments to the wrong relationship can be costly to you, to the people of God. Don't get involved with wrong relationships. They will do you damage. Young people, don't get involved in wrong relationships. It will do you damage. Know someone that married someone that had been warned. The marriage was horrible. They had 2 daughters. It ended. And the daughters was given their choice. Do you want to live with your mama or you want to live with your daddy? One chose the mother, one chose the daddy. Guard yourself against wrong relationships. Maybe Delilah was beautiful and whatever it was that attracted Samson. And he got so attached to her. What a cost. What a cost. Well, not every relationship is like that. We're going to speak some about a good relationship. And that's Ruth and Naomi. Be very particular of who you have relationships with. Ruth and Naomi. Well, some background. Naomi and her husband and two sons had left Israel and went to Moab. There was a famine in Israel, and they went to Moab. While they were there, Naomi's husband died. Her two sons married, Moabite, Ruth and Orpha. And over a period of time, Ruth and Orpha's husband died. So here was three widows. Naomi decides, I'm going back home. Going back to my people. Leaving here. And she talked to her daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpha. It probably was a very emotional time. They had a attachment to each other. Naomi served the true living God. Ruth had been greatly influenced, and Orpha, a certain amount of influence she had from her mother-in-law, Naomi. And so at this emotional time in the three women's life, Naomi told her daughter-in-laws what her plan was to go back to her people. Go back to where she come from. Well, it may have hit them like an emotional torpedo. And they said, we're going to go too. We're going with you. And so they did start out, and this is in the book of Ruth, the story, in the very first chapter of Ruth, and if I can find it here, if you find it, you can go ahead and read this. Well, we got to it here, the book. So they were going on their way, and I don't know how far they got, and so Naomi talked to him again. And Orpha had some second thoughts. She had loved Naomi. And she had some attachments, though, that she thought, I will go back to my roots. And so, in the 14th verse of the first chapter, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. This is an emotional time. These women were very emotional here. They was weeping. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth, what did she do? She clave unto her. The attachment was stronger than Orpha's. You know, some people start out for the Lord, but there's some attachment. Remember, Lot was told to leave the city that was going to be destroyed, and he was so attached to that city, the angel had to take hold of their hand, get them out of the city. But Naomi and Orpha and Ruth, and Ruth was so attached to Naomi, she didn't just emotionally cleave to her, she physically cleaved to Naomi. So, and she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." So, this was a good attachment that Ruth and Naomi had. And so, Naomi didn't say anything else about going back to your gods or going back to your people. They traveled together. They got to the city of Bethlehem together. They lived together. God blessed Ruth with a husband, with a child, and he's in the lineage of Christ's birth. So there is good attachments that people can develop and influence that they can have on one another for good things. And there's another person that got strong attachment to a person, and that person was Jesus. At one time, Saul was very opposed to the cause of Christ. He did what he could to cause trouble to the people of God. And he had in his plans, "I want to go to Damascus and cause trouble there of the followers of Jesus." So he got permission, and he was on his way. But something happened. He'd been kicking against the pricks. He'd had some hard things, but he had a determination. And as he went that day on that road, he had an encounter with Jesus, the one who he had been so opposed to, the followers. And it was on that day that he had an encounter that changed him so completely. From opposition to being a spiritual giant before his end. And he asked a question in the 8th chapter of Romans, and his question was, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" This Christ that he once hated and opposed. Who now is going to separate us from his love? shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this individual who had been so vehemently angered and stirred and moved against Christ now was asking a question, who's going to separate us? I'm attached to him. Today, may I challenge you to get attached to Jesus. That nothing, like is written here, will separate, not a relationship, not any kind of sin or temptation, will separate you from the love of Jesus. Oh, one who died for you, one who loves you more than any person on earth will ever love you. One who has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. One song says, I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard a voice from heaven telling me, give up? No. Telling me to fight on. He has promised. Not a politician promise. He has promised never to leave me alone. If you want to get attached to somebody, get attached to Jesus. He is a good attachment. Some have got so attached to him that it has cost their life. They have actually given their life. The martyrs were thrown to lions to devour them. Isaiah, the prophet that was told to go back and tell Hezekiah, you got 15 more years to live. He was put in a log and sawed in two. Some have been attached to Jesus, like Paul. Shall death separate me from you, Jesus? No. He had his head cut off. He had it severed from his body. He wasn't separated from Jesus, though. I read a story in a book, and I think I'll try to tell some of it and might read some of it. It is about some soldiers in Emperor Nero in his army, and there was 40 of them that were the cream of the crop, outstanding men, and they wrestled in the amphitheater for the king. They'd wrestled for the Emperor Nero. Nero didn't want any of his soldiers to have faith in Christ. And so he sent out a dispatch to a centurion And anyone that had faith in Christ was to die. And so the story goes that the centurion met with soldiers and told them about the situation and what would happen to them. And he also didn't want the blood of these soldiers to be on the comrades, probably to remember that I killed one of these men that believed in Christ. And it had been a hard winter, and there was a lake with ice. And if these men did not turn away from their faith in Christ, that they were going to be out on that lake, froze to death. They were given an opportunity to renounce their faith, and then they were to be called back to give the answer. And when they were called back with the answer that was to be given, all 40 of them retained their faith. Well, the centurion pleaded with them long and earnestly without prevailing upon a single man to deny his Lord. Finally, he said, the decree of the emperor must be obeyed, but I'm not willing that your blood be upon your comrades. I'm going to order that you march out upon the lake of ice, and I shall leave you there to the mercies of the elements. Fires, however, will be waiting to welcome any willing to renounce this false faith. The 40 wrestlers were stripped, and then without a word, they wheeled and falling into columns of four, marched towards the lake of ice. As they marched, they broke into chorus with the old chant of the arena. 40 wrestling for thee, O Christ, and they used to say, wrestling for thee, O Nero, to win for thee the victory, and from thee the victor's crown. Through the long hours of night, the centurion stood by the campfire and waited. And all through the long night, there came to him, fainter and fainter, the wrestler's song. As morning drew near, one figure, overcome by exposure, crept quietly towards the fire. In the extremity of his suffering, he had renounced his Lord. Faintly but clearly, from out of the darkness came the song. 39 wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, to win for thee the victory, and for thee the victor's crown. The centurion looked at the figure drawing close to the fire, and then out into the darkness whence came the song of faith. Once again he looked. Oh, who can say? Perhaps he saw the greater light, shining there in the darkness. Off came his helmet. Down went his shield. And he sprang upon the ice, crying. Forty wrestlers wrestling for thee, O Christ, to win for thee the victory, and for thee the victor's crown. And the number of God's 40 singing wrestlers was complete. So some have got so attached to Jesus that they give their life. That's the kind of attachment to have. That's the kind of attachment to have, young people, older people, all of us, to be that attached to Jesus. There have been other stories of those who have given their life because they were attached to Jesus. Do you think they regret it today? I don't. I don't think they regret it. This one who gave up, come back for the fire. I don't know if he ever did reclaim his faith. But thank God for the 39 and for the centurion. They had another name there, but I didn't include that with his centurion title. You know, Fanny Crosby was a blind lady, but she wrote a song. Savior more than life to me. I'm clinging. I am clinging, clinging close to thee. Let thy precious blood apply, keep me ever, ever near thy side. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy cleansing power. May thy tender love to me, these words, bind me closer, closer attachment, closer, Lord, to thee. Let me love thee more and more, till this fleeting, fleeting life is o'er, till my soul is lost in love, in a brighter, brighter world above. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy cleansing power. May thy tender love to me attach me closer, bind me closer, closer, Lord, to our Father, today, we thank you for one who we all can get attached to. No one's excluded. That universal invitation. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Lord, today, you know the hearts of everyone. You know whether they're attached to Jesus today or attached to sin or something else. We ask you for your blessings to be upon everyone that is here at this time. If there is a stronger attachment needed, orphan needed a stronger attachment, but yet she went a distance. Today, Lord, we ask you that you would deal with hearts here at this present hour of service. You know every need. You know every person. Would you bless all? We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.